and welcome to Encore. Encore is Near FM's Highlights of the Week programme. And on this week's edition, John Healy is joined by Lee Hussey, Arts Programme Coordinator at the Axis in Ballymun, where they chat about a new exhibition. Later, Daiga Martins-Borges, Manager at Fingal Volunteers, discusses the Volunteer Ireland Awards on the Week in Review with Declan Ralph. And finally, Donie Tarrant is joined on Northside Today by Sarah Jane Leonard, where they chat about Triple P, Preparing for Life. But first, on this week's edition of Encore, it's John Healy on Northside Today.
And on the line now, I have Lee Hussey, who is Arts Programme Coordinator with the Axis Ballymun. Good afternoon, Lee.
Good afternoon, John. Hi.
I'm good. And thanks very much for taking the call. It's a very interesting exhibition that we're going to talk about. I think it's launching tomorrow.
That's right. It's launching tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock.
And it's I Am Irish. Will you just explain to our listeners what it's all about?
Absolutely. So I Am Irish is an exhibition that celebrates diversity. It's a creative movement that maps roots, the lives and experiences of mixed race Irish people. The idea behind the exhibition was to challenge the perceptions of what it looks like to be Irish and open up a dialogue about the diversity that Irish people are now. It was first created and concepted by Lorraine Marr, who is an Irish woman of colour. She's from Tipperary herself. It was launched last year first in the London Irish Centre as part of Black History Month. And it's the debut for it in Ireland, coming to us here in Axis in Ballymun in Dublin. So we've been installing it over the last couple of days. But it isn't just an exhibition that will be up on the walls. It's actually part of a larger project that we're working with Lorraine on I Am Irish. So it is coupled with the talks that we are running with schools. So Lorraine will visit schools while she's over here, and then we'll also host workshops in our gallery space. And finally, on the 25th of October, we will host a conversation in our theatre. So it really is a catalyst or a stimulus just to start a conversation about Irishness, identity, belonging, and what Irish culture is.
Yeah, so it's you're promoting diversity, and as we all know now, we're a multicultural society, and schools, you have all cultures going into schools, and you're going to go out and visit schools and give talks, is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. So we put it out to schools at the beginning of our programme launch this year that we were going to have this, that we were going to have Lorraine available to do workshops and talks. And some of the really interesting conversations that have come back to us already have been both primary, secondary and third level schools all coming to us telling us the number of nationalities they have, ranging from 30 nationalities to 40 nationalities in their school. So they're very much aware of the need to have this conversation about diversity. And it isn't just the subjects of art and English that I've had teachers talk to me about. One of the teachers that I was speaking to was speaking as an Irish teacher who was teaching 37 nationalities in her school, and her class had 12 nationalities. And she wanted to start her conversation with her class around what Irish culture is. So she felt that I Am Irish exhibition will be the good starting point for them to work on. So it isn't just an arts piece, it's a conversation piece really for now of what Ireland is and who we are as a nation.
And that teacher, you say she's an Irish teacher, so was she teaching Irish to all those students of different backgrounds?
Yes, they are, and that's exactly, I suppose, the point as well, that I Am Irish is trying to dispel the idea that if you're from a non-white community that you're automatically an immigrant, and that isn't the case. Ireland has changed a lot over the last couple of years, so we have a generation of school kids who are Irish, but their parents might be from a different nationality. So they're not just bilingual, they're also learning Irish as well as having English and then whatever language is spoken at home as well.
Yes, and because, as we said, there's loads of different cultures in schools now, and young children are growing up with people from different countries and different cultures, and they'll be more receptive, would you find?
I But that's something that's quite interesting, and it's kind of not really one that I suppose that I can answer, because I'm coming from a different place. We have a actor over at the moment as part of a Dublin Theatre Festival show called The Bitter Game. He's from the United States, and The Bitter Game is about the Black Lives Matter movement, and particularly the racial tension between police in America and young black males specifically, because they've been in the news, and unfortunately there's been very sad deaths. And we hosted a workshop, and we had a lot of, we had 200 school, secondary school students in the room, and that question was pitched to them in a slightly different way, the one that you just pitched to me, which was, do they believe there's racism in Ireland? And there was quite a low level of people who thought it was, in a hands-up point of view. But when you actually heard individual stories from children and young people in the audience, that was when you, the narrative changed a little bit, and you started to hear a little bit more that there are. And we've been having many conversations in Access over the last couple of days around this with various different groups. And one of the things that we've talked about is how you define racism. And so people perhaps are thinking of racism in terms of a very violent act, and not necessarily including in the conversation the seemingly innocuous everyday things that are said. But it's also, this exhibition isn't just around racism. It looks a lot further and looks at identity and belonging, because that's something that everybody is dealing with, but I think particularly the age group of secondary schools that we will be talking to will really identify with that. So it isn't just a political movement, it's a conversation piece around all that it means to have a diverse culture and how we integrate everybody into that diverse culture.
Yes, and a free public panel discussion, that's on Wednesday the 25th in the Axis.
That's right. That's a ticketed event, but it is free. You can find out how to get tickets for that on our website, Access Ballymun. There's an Eventbrite link online just to register. We already have, I think, about two-thirds of that gone, so if anybody else wants to get tickets, they need to get in there soon. But the exhibition itself is open. Our gallery is open Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and we will have a response area as part of the exhibition as well, because we want this conversation to not just stop by you coming in and seeing it or coming in listening to a talk. We want people to engage with it as well. So there'll be various forms that people can do that. So drop into us and have a conversation with us.
And whereabouts in the Axis is the exhibition going to go on? Is it upstairs, on the walls upstairs? Or
it is, yeah. So the gallery upstairs, the mezzanine gallery, is where we will host the exhibition. The talk on Wednesday the 25th will be in the theatre.
And was there a lot of different photographers involved in this, in submitting photographs?
There wasn't, actually. There was just one photographer, Tracy. And the portraits themselves are quite intimate moments of a person, so rather than it just being a collection of people, portraiture comes in various different forms. It's not just always somebody sketching. Photography portraiture is very much dependent on the photographer capturing the person and who they are, and so all of the pictures are taken in various different settings, but all of the people in the pictures are mixed race. And they are Irish.
Yeah, this is it's a celebration of Black History Month, but the exhibition is actually about mixed race. Is that correct?
Exactly. Yeah, we haven't just have one race in it. There's a range of European, African heritage, even some Asian heritage as well. So it's the diversity that we actually have in Ireland at the moment, depicted on the walls and photographs.
Okay, and so the exhibition itself will be going on for how long?
So we launch it tomorrow evening, and it will remain on the walls until the 31st of October. We have a series of workshops this week and at the end of October as well. Lorraine Maher is actually based in London herself, so she's coming over to visit us, thanks to the funding of British Council for this exhibition. So she will be over at the beginning of the month and the end of the month.
And the website is accessballymun.ie, is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah, that's the website.
And they can get involved on there or by ringing you on 883-2123.
Exactly, yeah, that's my direct line.
Okay. Is there anything now you'd like to add, Lee?
No, just that this is all of the exhibitions that we host in Access are never hosted in isolation. They are always done with the mind that they engage people in a conversation. So there is, this October, we have taken a look at Black History Month. So The Bitter Game, the show that we have on Thursday, Friday and Saturday, was deliberately hosted at the same time as well. And there is still availability for tickets on a Friday. Unfortunately, the Saturday and Thursday are almost gone. But if anybody would like to come along to that show, and you'll get a chance to see the work of I Am Irish exhibition up on our gallery walls as well.
Okay, it sounds very, very interesting, and it's a good event, it's a great event, and hopefully we will be able to talk to Lorraine in the next few days.
Absolutely.
Listen, Lee, thank you very much for taking my call. It's very, very interesting, and it's a great thing that's happening.
Brilliant. Thanks for calling, John.
Thank you, Lee. Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
And that was John Healy, who was joined on Northside today by Lee Hussey, Arts Programme Coordinator at the Axis in Ballymun. Next on Encore, Daiga Martins-Borges, manager at Fingal Volunteers, discusses the Volunteer Ireland Awards on the week in review with Declan Ralph.
Now, I'm joined now by Daiga Martins-Borges from Fingal Volunteering. We're going to chat about the Volunteer Ireland Awards. This is an awards programme that makes a difference, and it aims to shine a light on the remarkable work of volunteers around the country by celebrating them on a national level. And we're also going to talk about the Fingal Volunteer Centre, where Daiga is the manager. Good afternoon, Daiga.
Good afternoon, Declan.
Maybe we'll start with just your own role there in the Fingal Volunteer Centre. Maybe tell me a little bit about that to start off.
Yeah, sure. Fingal Volunteer Centre is a county-wide community-based service, and we actually offer a recruitment and placement service available to anybody living in County Fingal. So anybody who's interested in volunteering can turn to us. We're the first point of contact. Then on the other side, we also offer various supports and training to organisations in County Fingal on all aspects of volunteering management, and we encourage the best practice across the sector. So just to recap this, we work with volunteers who are interested in volunteering and who are looking for volunteer roles in Fingal. And on the other side, we work with volunteer-involving organisations or groups who are looking to recruit volunteers as well. So we act as the link between these two.
Okay, and I understand you have a database of opportunities as well if people want to pick something that might suit them.
Yes, certainly. There is a national database of volunteering opportunities. It's called IVOL, so you can search for volunteering opportunities in your own area. So regardless of whether you're in Fingal or Donegal, you can, access your local volunteer centre. So what is worth mentioning here is that there's 21 volunteer centres in Ireland. We're part of the network. We also work pretty closely with Volunteer Ireland, and then there is 8 volunteer information services. So pretty much every county in Ireland has sort of, a point of contact in terms of volunteering. And this national database called IVOL is also something that you can install on your smartphone.
Excellent. Okay. So tell me, the nominations are closing next week, the 6th of October, for the Volunteer Ireland Awards. Tell me a little bit more about them.
Yeah. In fact, the deadline has now been extended to the 13th of October, so there's actually another 2 weeks people can nominate a volunteer. So we would encourage that everybody who knows a person who is doing a remarkable and outstanding work, to nominate someone. And you can nominate your neighbour, you can nominate your friend, you can nominate someone who volunteered for your group, So it's open to everybody in the Republic of Ireland. So, and then there's 10 different categories, just to name a few: animals and environment, there's a community category, there's health and disability. All of that can be looked up on volunteer.ie website. And it will only take maybe 5 minutes of your time to fill out this form. This year is an important year for Volunteer Ireland Awards because it's currently in its 10th year as well. And people who will be shortlisted will actually be heading to Sligo because Sligo this year is also the European capital for volunteering.
And I see that the Christine Buckley Volunteer of the Year Award is one of the main awards that you'll present on that evening in Sligo.
So everybody who is, who will be awarded the awards, they will. It's called Christine Buckley Award of the Year, and Christine was one of the, Ireland's Volunteer of the Year. I think it was back in 2009, and then she also was presented the award at the European Volunteer of the Year as well. Sadly, she passed away, but perhaps for those who don't know, she was actually one of the co-founders of Ashland Education and Support Centre as well, and she actually campaigned for the victims of institutional abuse for over 20 years as well. So this is something remarkable, that we can celebrate as well. So
it's open. The awards are open to all volunteers in all sectors and across those 10 categories that you mentioned there as well. And if people are interested, and you said the deadline is now extended to the 13th of October, what do they have to do, Daiga?
There is a nomination form which can be accessed through either the local Volunteer Centre website, so be it Volunteer Fingal or Volunteer Meet or Volunteer Donegal, but this form can be accessed through volunteer.ie website, and you just have to fill out a few details about this volunteer, and you have to answer a couple of questions such as why do you think the person deserves the award, what is exactly they're doing as part of their role, and you may have to provide a few details about the person also who you're nominating.
Okay, so it's not too complicated. It's a short enough form and not too much information required. So if you know somebody who's doing a really good job, it would be a really great idea to maybe put them forward for that.
Yeah, and like I said, it only takes five to maybe seven minutes of your time, and I know people who have filled it out. They said it's very simple nomination form, so you just need to look that up on volunteer.ie and fill it out. And I'm sure we each know a person who is doing a great work. The good thing about the awards as well is even if the person is not shortlisted for the event for the award, they all get a thank you card as well.
Okay, super. Thanks, Daiga, for telling us about that and how to get involved in the Volunteer Ireland's Award 2017 and also about the work that you do there in Fingal volunteering as well. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
That was Daiga Martins-Borges there. She's the manager at Fingal Volunteer Centre talking to us about the Volunteer Ireland Award.
And finally, on this week's edition of Encore, Donie Tarrant is joined on Northside today by Sarah Jane Leonard with a chat about Triple P, preparing for life.
Now, I am joined in the studio by Sarah Jane Leonard, and Sarah is going to tell us all about Triple P, preparing for life.
Okay, so my name is Sarah Jane. I work in a programme called Preparing for Life, which is an early intervention and prevention programme based in Darndale. And we were originally a research programme for a home visiting programme where we worked with parents from 0 to 5 year olds. And part of that programme would have been a parenting programme called Triple P. So that's what I'm here to talk about today. So Triple P is the power of positive parenting. So what we do when preparing for life is we offer a suite of programmes to parents around the Northside Partnership community. So we have various different levels of programmes from level 2, which is seminars. They're 90-minute workshops and it's the power of positive parenting, raising resilient children and raising confident, competent children. And then the level 3 are discussion groups. They're a little bit more detailed, so they're more topic-based, and they're 2-hour workshops, and the parent leaves with a tailor-made plan on the specific topic, like managing disobedience, dealing with fighting and aggression, bedtime routines, and high-risk situations. And then the more intensive parenting programmes that we offer are level 4, So that's an 8-week programme. So the parents are asked to commit to 4 weeks in a group where they look at very broad focused, more intensive information around parenting and the power of positive parenting. And then for 3 weeks, they get an individual telephone call, which basically tailor makes the programme to meet their family's needs, because as we know, all children are different and all families are different. And then the 8th week, they're back in the group programme. And then...
And Sarah, I mean, I have done interviews before in relation to the, we'll say, the early learning interventions. And, you know, where we have seen that, that the one that was ran here by the Northside Partnership in Coolock has actually been rolled out now as a template for other other community groups around the country. Yeah. But, I mean, maybe just for a couple of seconds, if you could tell or explain to us about some of the positive findings that have come from this, because some of what I've learned from looking at this is absolutely astounding.
Yes. So, as I said, we were a research programme, a random control trial that was based in Darndale. So we worked with 200 families where 100 families got one list of things, so in the control group, and then the other 100 families got the extra parenting intervention, which was child development and parenting. So that's where the triple P come in. So there were some really good results in the controlled group. So the parents who worked in the home visiting programme around child development and parenting, their children were more school ready in various different ways. So yeah, we did have some really good results around obesity, the children's school readiness being more increased. So, and again, that was reported through the schools as well. So it wasn't just parents reporting that themselves, that the research was done with the schools and the teachers as well.
Yeah, and I believe like that, that some of the results when it came like to, you know, as you said there and as you alluded to, excuse me, monitoring the children as they went through the school. So yeah, the results were absolutely astounding. Yeah.
And I suppose what we done was we worked with the parents, because the parents are the best judge of character of their children. So every parent wants the best for their children. So it's working with their needs and working alongside them to bring out the potential in the child and also in the parent as well. So giving them the right information. The information's already out there, but what we did was put it together in a package. So the curriculum we delivered with the parents was around their own children and their own.
Yeah, that's fascinating actually, Sarah, to hear that you can tailor something for each individual parent. I mean, yes, you can tailor it for a group, but you can also slim it down to make it you know, pointed in the direction of each particular parent or each particular child.
Yeah, because all parents have different skills. So a lot of the information that we deliver in Triple P, they may already be doing. So it's introducing new strategies and tips around how to manage different situations in their child's life. So I suppose it's a bag of tools they get. So the parent decides themselves then which tool best suits them and their children.
And have you got another, we'll say, suite of courses coming up?
We do, yeah. So at the moment we're running in the primary schools around the area. If any of your listeners want to log on to the Preparing for Life website, there's a list of events that are happening around the area. So it's morning times and evening times, and we actually have an 8-week group, Triple P, starting this Wednesday if anybody wants to contact us. Again, you can through Northside Partnership's website or Preparing for Life's website.
And I presume that's free, is it?
Yes, it's all free.
There's no charge.
No
so,
charge.
I mean, it's a no-brainer not to avail of it, really,
yes,
isn't it, Sarah?
Yeah. And the beauty about Triple P is that it's non-judgmental. It's about working with the skills you already have and how to develop that to help your child reach their full potential.
And, I mean, when you're saying your child, there is no such thing as a child that's too young.
No. Now, our programme is from 0 to 12. So again, we're early intervention, so the information we're given is around preventing the problems from happening. So the very general information is for all parents, and then if you like what you hear on level 2 and then you want more information around bedtime routines or dealing with fighting and aggression or managing misbehaviour, that's where we bring in the universal, the more broad focus programmes. And I suppose the approach we're trying to take, Donny, would be that, you know, before there would be like a stigma attached to doing a parenting course because you're always sent to do one, or it was always when there was a crisis happening. Our approach is that this is universal. We want every parent to be able to choose which one is going to best suit them and their family. So there's no judgment, so they can choose level 2, level 3, level 4. So there's a suite of programs out there that they can choose from.
Yeah, and it's really a case of going to do the course before before you're sent to do it, or before you have to do it.
Yeah, so the level twos and level threes are just one-off workshops, so you can attend them around the community, just one-off. And then if it is that you want more information on another particular topic, then there's more broad-focused information out there as well.
And is there any limit to the numbers you can cater for, Sarah?
Well, yeah, in our group programmes, we have up to 12 places on the 8-week and the 9-week programmes. And then the one-off discussion groups and seminars, there's no limit there. So we have had 20, 22 people in groups.
Very good. And again, I mean, we'll say for argument's sake that you have a parent at home and they have two or three children. How does that work? Can you tailor it for each one? Or do they have to attend each different courses? Well, or how do you manage that one?
What we ask the parent to do is pick a particular child and a particular behaviour that they want to be able to change, or a new skill they want to encourage with their child, because the idea about Triple P is that the parent is taking control. So what we want them to do is set a goal for themselves and set a goal for their child. So it's better if they focus on one child, and then it has a knock-on effect for the rest of the children in the family. So,
yeah, and as I said, and as we spoke about at the very beginning, like, I mean, the positive results of this are absolutely frightening. I mean, it's unbelievable to... When you look, and because you do study this and you monitor the progress as it's going through, and you follow it through, you know, since its inception.
Yes.
And the results, as I said, astounding.
Yeah, and the reason why Preparing for Life chose Triple P back 10 years ago when we were doing our research is because this is an evidence-based model. Triple P will not release any materials without it being evidence-based. So they're doing a lot of research as well. So I suppose any funding that we get in the future, it's all around evidence. They want us to have outcomes and positive outcomes for parents as well.
And Sarah, just before you go, anybody listening who wants to partake in the course, how do they do it again?
So if you just log on to Preparing for Life's website, and then you've got parenting, the heading parenting, and you'll find the schedule there, the outline of events around the community.
Sarah, once again, thanks for coming in to me, because I definitely think that this is something that should be trumpeted from the rafters, because it's absolutely fabulous. And as I said, you know, the really good thing about it is that it works.
Yes.
It does what it says in the tin, and the results, as you say, are there to prove it.
And we have fun.
Yeah. When you can do something like that and there's fun attached, it's no bad day.
Yes.
Sarah, thanks a million.
Thank you.
That was Encore for this week. Encore will be back here on Near FM at the same time next Sunday. That's 4 p.m. Have a terrific week. Bye-bye.